We take up all of our giving money for missions in one Sunday. And we want like millions of dollars. I mean, we're like, we're praying big. So we're glad that you've joined us. And if you would like to join in with that donation, you are more than welcome. But do not feel any amount of obligation. We talk about this all year long. And our members are prepared for this. And we've come today with checks written. And we're excited about it. And we're glad that you can join with us today. As you guys know, I am a chaplain in the United States Air Force. And as a chaplain, I'm a non-combatant. The way the lawyers describe this is if we're ever in a fight, I get to take one for the team. And I quote that directly from the lawyer. It's just the nature of the beast. We don't get to bear arms. We don't have any connection with that at all. Well, there's a story about Aloysius. If I have another kid, that is his name. Aloysius is the coolest name. H. Schmidt. He was a chaplain in the United States Navy aboard the USS Oklahoma. And on a Sunday morning, he was just finishing the amen of the service when torpedoes hit the ship. December 7th, 1941, as it sat in the harbor of Pearl Harbor. It was one of the first ships to go down, had a lot of casualties. 300 or 400 men died in that ship that morning. But the powerful thing is, Chaplain Schmidt, as he said amen, and as the torpedoes hit, they discovered that there was one small hole connected to the chapel room that he was in. And this man began to hoist sailors out of the hole. And they kept trying to drag him, and he refused to leave until everybody was out. And of course, everybody was never getting out. And so by the time it capsized and went over, he went down with the ship and gave the ultimate sacrifice that day. He's one of the first casualties of World War II. And was the first chaplain to die in the war. He was received the Navy Marine Corps Medal, which is the highest non-combatant, believe it or not, medal for heroism. He received the Purple Heart for his injuries and giving his life for his country. Later on, they commissioned, I think this is ironic, a war vessel after him called the USS Schmidt. It was a destroyer escort. Now, let me explain that. They didn't actually go and kill things. Their job was to guard those things, like the merchant marines. Very appropriate for a chaplain type of a legacy to be a destroyer escort. It was a warship that protected things that were important to us. Powerful, but protection only. Well, today in the paper, go ahead and hit this next slide. Maybe two after this. Today's paper, ironically, and I found this online, they have found the remains of Chaplain Schmidt, and it returns home probably in October next month, so his family can formally bury him and have that grieving process. There's a tremendous full story event that is going on right now in real time. And I think it's fascinating when you think about the nature of a chaplain. One of the roles is they don't choose who they minister to, because people come from all walks of life. And so Chaplain Schmidt, when he was given his life, when he was risking that, it was for all kinds of different people from different backgrounds. Many of, guaranteed, were not of his faith tradition. And yet he did what was necessary because he was on mission. He understood the nature of his mission. He wasn't just there for the souls of the men, but also for their physical well-being, their holistic picture. He helped with their marriages. He did whatever was necessary because that's what chaplains do. And in this particular case, it cost him his very life. See, a chaplain is sent to the people in every part of the world. They go to deal with every kind of personality. But I want to suggest to you that this is not just a chaplain role. It's just been compartmentalized for the sake of the military. This is the call of every Christian. Our role is to look at the world and see the holistic nature of depravity and brokenness and to be sent into it, to go into it on mission with a purpose in mind, ready to give our lives, to do whatever is necessary, not just for the spiritual well-being, but for the emotional and the physical and whatever the needs are. If people are hungry, what should we do, church? We should feed them. Is that not directly in line with the ministry and the gospel of Jesus Christ? Well, our fellowship should be able to relate. Let me tell you another story. Once upon a time, there was a man named Martin. Martin was a Roman soldier in AD 300. And Martin was on his way on a mission when he saw a beggar, barely clothed. And so what he does, he took his instrument of war out, his sword, and cut his cloak in half, and gave half to this poor beggar who was naked in the street, and clothed him. And that night he went to sleep, and he had this amazing dream in which he was standing into this giant court, and all the angels were standing around, and there was Jesus. And Jesus starts to tell the angels of this great story about how Martin had given him his cloak. And Martin woke up and immediately was baptized. I mean, that was a faith conversion if ever there was one. He realized that this is God's call on his life. He went into the ministry and left his soldiering life and became a saint and did all kinds of cool stuff. But this guy, what's interesting, and this is why our heritage will connect to it, is the name of cape was no longer a regular cape. It was a small cape. It was a capella, they called it. It was a small cape. And it was a capella that he took around, and soldiers would then take it into battle for almost kind of a superstitious kind of reason. And they would have attendants, like the Ark of the Covenant, who would keep up with this capella. And it would go into all the battles, all the way up into Charlemagne's time, 300 or 400 years later. Legendary capella. And then there was these servants, and then they would build these little shacks for the capella, and that later became the chapel for the capella. And then there was people who would come and serve it, and they would call them the capellums, and they would serve this, and they later became the chaplains. And it's really interesting, because when you sing in a style like a chapel, we call that a cappella. Our heritage directly connects with this reality of the chaplain world. And yet we forget sometimes that we are on mission. We are called to go into the world, to be mobile, if you will, to go out where the troops are and to say, what are the needs? I'm here. Lord, I am here. Send me. Take me. Lead me. Draw me. Prepare me. Use me. I want to be poured out like water as an offering. Because that is the mission of every Christian. If you've named the name of Jesus, you are on mission. Period. You are a chaplain to the world. And whether you sing a cappella or not, you're called to mission. And it's an important mission. I want to suggest to you this simple idea. God sends his disciples to be chaplains to two categories: people in every part of the world, and every part of people in the world. God sends his disciples to be chaplains to people of every part of the world, and to be chaplains to every part of people in the world. It's a holistic ministry of mission. You guys remember that phrase that God works in mysterious ways? Do you know that came from your readings this week? Or maybe last week? Chapter 45 of Isaiah. But what's interesting about it is, when the Bible says that God works in mysterious ways, he is reflecting on what God was just doing in a man named Cyrus. Cyrus was a warlord. He was the king of the kings of the kings of the world. He was the big bad guy who took down the Babylonians and had taken down the Assyrians. He was the greatest king to that point, largest kingdom to that point, until Alexander the Great came. Powerful, powerful individual. Warlord. God calls him by name. And the Bible says, God works in mysterious ways. He calls even warlords. Let me suggest to you, God wants his disciples to be on mission. But if we will choose not to be on mission, guess what God will do? He will raise up Cyruses. Even ones he'll have to punish later, as he does with the Babylonians and the Syrians. He will raise them up and send them on mission and say, I have called Cyrus by name. He is my missionary, the Bible says. He is my servant. He is my person that I have sent to go and do my job, because my people weren't doing it. Church, we are called to be chaplains. We are called to be chaplains to people in every part of the world. We are called to be chaplains to every part of people in the world, because we have a holistic ministry. And if we don't do it, guess what? God will call someone else to do it. But God wants to use us. Our readings this week are in Isaiah and Acts. It's interesting to me that if you look at Acts chapter 6, first of all, the book is called the Acts of the Apostle. It's the things they're doing. It's the things they're trying to make sense of the world and to reach out. And the first thing we read about in our readings this week in Acts chapter 6, widows, hungry. Well, what does it have to do with spiritual stuff? Everything. Because God wants the whole person dealt with. And so, well, we need someone to feed the widows and take care of it. Let's appoint men. Let's pray over them, send them out, and they'll go do the work of God to feed the widows. And then we read down a little farther in Acts chapter 10, and we see the story about Cornelius. Remember this one? Cornelius was a Gentile. He does not belong in the kingdom of God. But God gives Peter the dream, says, Peter, go trust me. I've made everything clean. Peter says, wow, God is amazing. He's letting even the Gentiles into the kingdom of heaven. Hallelujah. And the Spirit falls on him to confirm that. Amazing story. The very next thing we see in chapter 11, they're off to feeding people again. A prophet stands up and says, there's going to be a great famine in Jerusalem. Well, the people over here that are not in Jerusalem are brothers and sisters because of Jerusalem. And they're thinking, well, they brought us faith. We need to provide for them. So why don't we take up a collection? And the Bible says they gave as much as they could to send back to Jerusalem because they were hungry. Well, that's not the work of the Lord. We're supposed to bring them Bibles and we're supposed to preach messages. Yes, that's important. But more often than not, in the Bible, we see less about evangelism and mission being something like telling people about Jesus. Although very important, don't hear me wrong. But what's almost predicate to that, what's more important is, do you feed them when they're hungry? Do you clothe them when they're naked? Are you the chaplain that sees their whole person from every part of the world and says, you know what? I want to help you with your issue. I want to bless you. That's what God has called us to. The day of judgment. Remember in Matthew 25 what Jesus says? You had a chance to share with people about me and you didn't. He doesn't say that. He said, I was hungry. I was naked. I was in prison. And you either helped me or you didn't. And they're all like, well, what do you mean? When you did to the least of these, you did unto me. See, God has called us on mission. And we are chaplains to the whole world, ready to go at a moment's notice. In your work center, at your school, wherever you're at is where you are the chaplain. And you've been called to do that. And it is God's call in your life. And it's powerful. And we see it consistently through the text. That's what today's about. See, our missionaries did not think it good enough to send a box of Bibles to the places that they go. Instead, they took their entire families and they loaded up all their stuff and they learned new languages and they stretched themselves culturally and they moved into a neighborhood just like Jesus moved into our world. And they go and they live and they breathe and they eat at the markets and they learn the languages and the food and the culture and they learn the people. And then the people learn Jesus as they learn the people because they have become a chaplain to that group. The reason we take up a collection today is because we're sending missionaries to places we can't go. But we have places that we can go in our community. The mission is just as much for us. And further, I would add to this, this is something I think we forget. Our missionaries, they're away from home. They're often in strange places. And so one of the reasons that we give for God Can is so that we can provide for their needs as well. Their kids need school and college and clothing and food. They need to live life as well. And it's important for us to provide for that. Because that's something we can do. We might not can go to Tanzania. You know, we might not can go to Mozambique and just wander in there and do what they're doing. But you know what? We can send them the resources they need to do it. And that's what today is about. Joining in the mission of God to be chaplains to the whole world. And we read a little farther down in Isaiah 49, this suffering servant. We know he's talking about Jesus. He's going to be a light to the Gentiles. You catch that? The Gentiles, they don't belong in the kingdom of God. And God says, no, I'm going to send my servant and he's going to bless even the Gentiles. Because there's no group of people that is not welcome in my house. It'll be a house of prayer for all nations, we read shortly after this. God's dream from the very beginning was that mission would include every part of the world, every group of people. We're not just chaplains to this, that, or the other. We're a chaplain to everybody because God has called everybody to follow him. 52:7 of Isaiah talks about feet with good news. We love that one, right? It's right in the heart of what we're doing today. Isaiah 53, the suffering servant. We see how this great servant who's going to be a light is going to die and suffer, and the gospel unfolds. The piercing of his hands and his feet, this horrible image of crucifixion, comes out hundreds of years before Jesus was ever on the scene. The story just keeps on going as you read. Isaiah 55, God says he's going to send his word out. Remember who was referred to as the word? Jesus. And when God sends his word like a missionary, it will do what it's supposed to do. It's going to work. It's going to be powerful. And when Jesus sends his word through you, it will not fail. Do you feel the power of that? See, the biggest concern I have about being a chaplain to the world, well, if I walk into my work center and I'm the chaplain, I'm going to be blessing them and praying for them and providing for their needs and doing whatever I can to let them know that God loves them. But what if I fail? God says you're not going to fail because I am sending you and I have the power. Every part of every person in the world. There's so many little sections. I want to read a little snippet here and then we'll wrap this up. In Isaiah 58, just kind of following along the story. Actually, let me jump back to Isaiah 57. This is fascinating. I read this week and it really ties into what we're talking about. Listen to these words that God says in Isaiah 57, verse 1 and 2. Good people pass away. The godly often die before their time. But no one seems to care or wonder why. No one seems to understand that God is, listen to this, God is protecting them from the evil to come. For those who follow godly paths will rest in peace when they die. Do you remember just a few chapters before, chapter 38? Remember Hezekiah? What did God say to Hezekiah? You're going to die. And he wept. And God said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. But you remember why he was going to die? Who was coming to take over the city? The Babylonians. See, this is a direct correlation. God has a much bigger, much more complex plan. And it includes the whole person. It's not enough that God just has Hezekiah's heart. He wants to protect his body and his mind and his spirit. He doesn't want him to suffer any more than he has to because Hezekiah is one of his own. So God says, you're going to die, Hezekiah. I'm going to get you out of here. Think of the complexity of that. When do we think of death as a positive? When we escape the evil to come. Because God is concerned with the whole person. And therefore, if we're on mission, guess what? We are called to be chaplains to the whole, every part of a person. Whatever is needed, we're called to. And then chapter 58 goes into this whole section about all the different things that the world needs, and the hungry and the homeless. And it's just a beautiful passage. Read it. It's just the entire section that says God is interested less in you telling people what they ought to believe and more, and then you telling them that you love them and that God loves them. That is what being on mission is about, taking care of the needs of all the people of the world, from every group, from every tribe. And then, 59, verses 8 through 12. This is why this is so important. I want to read to you a little snippet of why we're on mission, okay? Because the people who don't know God are experiencing this. There's no justice among us. And we know nothing about right living. We look for light, but we find only darkness. We look for bright skies, but there's only gloom. We grope like the blind along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. Even the brightest noontime, we stumble through it like it's dark. Among the living, we're like dead. We growl like hungry bears, and we moan like mournful doves. We look for justice, but it never comes. We look for rescue, but it is far away from us. For our sins have piled us high before our God. I want you to understand the reason why this is so important to God. The reason why he wants us to feed and clothe and visit and bring justice and walk humbly with our God, as we read in Micah. The reason these are such important principles to God, even above and beyond what we typically think of as church. It's because these people are hurting. And they are God's children. Can you imagine what it would be like if your child was hungry and naked and in jail and scared and overwhelmed and you couldn't get to your child and you were making phone calls to your friends saying, would you go and check on little Johnny? Would you go to the school and pick him up? I am stuck in traffic. There's been an accident. I can't get there. Would you please go? And they look at you like, oh, what am I got to go to church. I got Bible study. Can you feel the power of that? This is God saying, I want you to go find those people who are hurting, the whole person. They're hungry, they're tired, they need justice. They're longing for someone to just call them friend. And I want you, my children, to go get my other children because they don't know what you know. And that is why beautiful are the feet that bring good news, because you relieve suffering in the world. And then in chapter 61, we read, proclaiming the year of our Lord's favor. This is how Jesus starts his entire ministry. He goes into the synagogue, he sits down, he flips over to chapter 61 of Isaiah and says, this is fulfilled today. He came to do amazing things. He didn't talk about the cross there. He didn't talk about any of the things that we know him to do. He talked about proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor on the whole world. Sabbath, shalom, peace, blessing, clothing, shelter, visiting. Justice. That's what he came to do. And that is what he's called us to do. Church, let me suggest one more time. God has called us to be on mission, to be chaplains to people in every part of the world, and to be chaplains to every part of people in the world. Let's pray together. Father, we love you and we are honored by your greatness and your love and your mercy and your compassion for us. We give you praise. We give you thanks. We lift up your name today, Lord, and we commit to being on mission for you and with you. We know Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost, to bring the abundant life, not just life, but abundant life to this world. And Father, we take up that mission freely with you and for you. We ask you to fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that as we give these gifts that you will direct them to the four corners of the world and that you will bring about your vision for this earth. That it would be on earth as it is in heaven to your glory for your kingdom. Pray all these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
All right. Well, I believe we've reached that time. And let's see, Michael, we have some kids that are willing to push a wheelbarrow around the room here and get your change ready. This is the time.